Hello, this is Warren Wandling, the host of How to Become an Obstacle Buster, and today I have a very special guest with me, Bob Berg. Bob Berg shares information on topics vital to the success of today's business person. He speaks for corporations and associations internationally, including Fortune 500 companies and numerous direct sales organizations. Bob regularly addresses audiences ranging in the size from 50 to 16,000, sharing the platform with notables, including today's thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, and political thought leaders, including a former United States president. Although for years he was best known for his book, Endless Referrals, over the past few years, it's his business parable, The Go-Giver, co-authored with John David Mann, has captured the imagination of his readers. It's shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal's business bestsellers list, and just 3 weeks after its release, reached number 9 on Business Week. It's been translated into 21 languages. It is his fourth book to sell over 200,000 copies. He and John David Mann have just released their newest book, Another Business Parable, focusing on influence and leadership, entitled It's Not About You. It shows you how focusing on others is the best way to obtain stratospheric success in your own life and business. Bob is an advocate, supporter, defender of the free enterprise system, believing the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. A lover of animals, he is the past member of the board of directors for Safe Harbor, which is the Humane Society of Jupiter, Florida. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Warren. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Very good. You know, it's been stated that you have made a quote that you have built your business and show others how to build their businesses based on one overriding foundational principle, and that is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And you go on to say an interesting statement that you can't control the economy, but you absolutely can control your economy. Can you explain further what you mean by controlling your economy?
Well, that's a great question, Warren. And really all it means is that there are certain things within our control and certain things that are not within our control. And I don't think it's a matter of ignoring that which isn't in our control. I think we need to be aware of them, but I think it's counterproductive to focus on them. For example, we cannot control the overall economy. It's far too big. It's a countrywide, it's a worldwide type of thing. It has much more to do with government meddling and the joining of big corporations and special interests with the government, you know, the government politicians whose campaigns they donate to for special laws and rules and regulations, which of course is the opposite of free enterprise. This is not free enterprise we're talking about, where of course people are allowed to do business with each other freely and voluntarily based on mutual desire and so forth. So there's certain things, and because of this and because of all the meddling in the economy, which is what caused the bank scandal and the real downturn in the economy, there's nothing we can do about that. I mean, other than, you know, as people all get the word out and try to vote out the ones that do that and vote in the people who actually believe in freedom and liberty. But and it's, by the way, both sides of the aisle. It's Republicans and Democrats who are in office, who are much more concerned with themselves than they are with just creating a free society where people can do business and do it in the right way. We can't control that. What we can control is we can control what we do. We can control the value we provide to others. We can control the function of building relationships with others. We can control how we deliver our product and service and the kind of phenomenal customer service we can provide. So there's actually a lot we can control and we can control in the process, and that's what we need to focus on. And as long as we keep our focus on that, then the chances are our economy is going to be good, you know, regardless of what's around us. And the best thing we can do for the economy is to make sure our economy is healthy.
Your titles, The Go-Giver and Go-Giver Sells More, seems to contradict traditional wisdom. Is that intentional? What is the basic premise of these books?
Well, the basic premise is simply that shifting one's focus from getting to giving. And in this case, when we say giving, we mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. And that doing that is not only a nice way to live life, but it's a very financially profitable way as well. So, you know, is it a little counterintuitive? Yeah, because the way that most people see the world and the way the world has been shown to us from birth and including, society and everything that we see, we don't see it that way. We see it kind of different. We see it as an everyone for themselves and this and that and the whole bit. And really, that's not what it is. Again, it goes back to doing business with people they know, like, and trust. And so that person who can take their focus off themselves and focus on providing value to others, those are the people who plant these seeds of goodwill, of great will. These are the people who are able to very quickly establish and cultivate relationships with others based on the principle that it's not 50-50, it's really 100-100. It's really looking out, it's making your victory about the other person's victory. And when you do that, obviously, you become that go-to person and you become that center of influence and you become that person that others feel good about. They know, they like, they trust, they want to see succeed, they want to be a part of your life. So, really that's all it is. We take a little bit of a different look at something that the successful people have been doing all their lives.
Isn't that really just saying that nice guys and gals kind of finish first? Well, that's a nice idea. Isn't that a bit naive?
Yeah, it sounds it at first, doesn't it? Again, because it goes back to something like the title of the Go-Giver or Go Givers Sell More. And the premise there is, when we think that, the premise is kind of like, the nice person and so forth. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Being nice is not enough. because people will say, well, and it's a great question that you asked, is this really just nice guys, nice girls, nice people finish first? No, that's not what it's about at all. Now, don't get me wrong. Being nice is a good thing. Being nice is a very helpful thing. It's certainly easier to attract good people to you when you're nice, when you're genuinely nice and kind, than it is if you're not. But being nice in and of itself, while a nice thing, is certainly not enough to be successful, financially successful. Let's face it, you and I and everyone listening to this call, we all know plenty of people who we would describe as simply nice people, who we would also have to describe as simply broke people. So being nice, good thing, absolutely. Important? Sure it is. But is it everything? No, not at all. Success is also a matter of doing the correct things in the success process in order to be successful and finish first, if you will. And the five laws that John and I provide in the book are simply meant to share those principles that if someone will use them, all of them, all five in conjunction, not one, two, three, or four of them, but all five, they absolutely must succeed.
In the Go Giver Sell More, you really break down some paradigms about sales. What are some of them?
Well, yeah, the first thing that John and I thought we should do, when you title a book, Go Givers Sell More, you've got to make sure, since the key there is sell and selling, we've got to make sure that we're on the same page as the reader and that they're on the same page as us, not literally but figuratively. And so we talk about selling in such a way that we believe that most people have sort of a backwards notion of what selling is, including many salespeople, which is kind of a difficult thing, because if you're in sales yet you don't feel good about the term sales or selling, it really means you don't feel good about what you're doing. And with that kind of a disconnect, you're never going to be as successful as you can be. Many people think that sales is about taking advantage or about trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need, when in actuality, Warren, sales is just the opposite. It's finding out what someone does want or need and helping them to get it. And as I started to just say, sales, many people think it's about taking advantage of others. It's not. It's just the opposite. It's giving people more advantage through your products or services. But probably, perhaps the biggest upside-down misperception of all is that sales is about taking. And when in reality, sales at its most basic, at its finest, at its most profitable, is all about giving. And I actually mean that literally, not figuratively, because the old English root of the word sell is selan, which literally meant to give. So when you're selling, you're literally giving. Now, someone might say, well, okay, well, you know, isn't that just semantics? Well, I don't know. I mean, I would then ask someone, you know, who is in sales, when you're in the selling process, what are you giving? And I'm going to suggest you're giving time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and most of all, you're giving value. So if you're in sales, that is what you're giving, and you should be very proud of being in sales. And, you know, that's really the key. And that's why when I hear someone say, you know, when someone asks someone, well, are you in sales? And the person says, well, yeah, kind of, I'm in sales, but I don't really sell. I just help people. Well, what they're really saying, this person in sales is saying about themselves, is the profession I'm in doesn't really help people, but I help people. But what they're really saying is I'm not proud of being in sales. And again, I'm not here to tell people how to think, but I would suggest that if you don't feel good about sales and yet you're in sales, that's hurting your sales. And so we need to kind of understand that. And, you know, when it comes down to it, the most successful salespeople, they understand that the difference between the ultra mega successful salesperson and the person who kind of just gets by or you know, is somewhat successful is really just in the focus. The over-the-top successful salesperson understands that in sales, the truth about sales, if you will, is that it isn't about you. It's about the other person. And I think that's the key.
One interesting but somewhat questionable thing you say in your book is that you can't make a sale. What do you mean by that? You know, sales are made every day.
Right. Well, you know, here's how we're looking at it, that in a free enterprise-based economy, you can't make anyone do anything. So literally, you can't make a sale. What you can do is you can create the environment where that person comes to know you, like you, trust you, respect your judgment, and they decide to buy. And in that case, while you can't make a sale, you can create the environment where a sale happens, where it takes place, and you are there to receive the sale. Now, somebody might ask, legitimately so, well, isn't that just semantics right there? And my answer to that would be, actually, yes, it is just semantics. But sometimes semantics are very important. Not only in what we tell others about what we do, but in what we tell ourselves about what we do. You see, if you believe that you're out there, you know, with the purpose to make a sale, then it's all about you and your product. If, on the other hand, you're out there simply to provide an opportunity for someone to buy because it meets their needs, their wants, and desires, then that, by the very nature of the thing, means that your focus is on them. And that's exactly where it should be.
So that raises an interesting question, Bob. Do you think people ever confuse what being a go-giver really means then?
Oh, I think they do, Warren. And again, just because of the term go-giver, they, surprisingly, even after they read the book sometimes, but always, you know, if they haven't yet read it and they hear the title, Go-Giver, they either think it means that you're supposed to just give things away, that you're supposed to give things away for free, or that you're supposed to not make a profit. Neither of those are true. Or that you're supposed to just bend to people's will, and get taken advantage of. And it's absolutely none of that. You know, when we talk about a go-giver, we are absolutely not talking about a martyr. We're not talking about someone who's a doormat. We're not talking about someone who's self-sacrificial. We're simply talking about a person who, again, understands that shifting their focus from themselves to others, from getting to giving value, that's the person who accomplishes the most. But go-givers make a profit. It's just that they provide so much in use value to their customers, that their customers feel great about the transaction. The customers get much more in use value than what they're paying, and the salesperson makes a very healthy profit, and both people feel terrific about it. And, you know, that's really the best of both worlds.
The law of left field, that's kind of a very fascinating concept. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, to understand the law of left field, you need to know the first five, the actual five laws, because the law of left field is actually a mini law or sub law within one of the other laws. And basically the laws go like this. The law of value says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Again, that doesn't mean you don't make a profit. You make a great profit. It just means that you've provided so much great value, service, excellence, or what have you, to the other person, their buying experience, that they feel great about it. Remember, an economic law that cannot be changed, and that is this: people will exchange their money for that which they feel is of equal or greater value than the money they're exchanging it for. So if you've hired an accountant to do your taxes and they charge you $2,000, that's their fee, that's their price. But if they save you $6,000 and they save you 25 hours of time and they provide you with security and peace of mind of knowing it was that the work was done correctly, they've actually, while they charged you $2,000, they gave you much, much more in actual value while they made a healthy profit. So the to understand the first law, you just simply need to understand the difference between price and value. Law number two is the law of compensation, which says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. Providing value is great. It's the foundational principle. But providing great value to just one person probably isn't going to make you a very healthy income. It's also a matter of reach, touching the lives of many people with that value. So we would summarize the first two laws by saying exceptional value plus significant reach equals very high compensation. Law number three is the law of influence. This law says that your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Again, not in a self-sacrificial way, just by understanding that it's that shift in focus, that to the degree that you can put other people's interests first, temporarily suspend your self-interest, not forego it, but suspend it, that's the degree that you're going to build very quickly. You're going to build really, really great relationships with others. Law number four is the law of authenticity. This simply says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. It means you show up consistently day after day after day from your true authentic core, as opposed to trying to be somebody else or someone you're not. Law number five is the law of receptivity. And the law of receptivity says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And this simply means that just like breathing out and breathing in are both necessary in order to survive, never mind to thrive, it's the same with giving and receiving. Giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. And to focus on just one and try to minimize the other is really an exercise in futility, because every giving is made possible because it's also a receiving, and every receiving is made possible because it's also a giving. And it's understanding that all the giving in the world, when, again, in this case we mean the giving, the providing of value to others, all the giving in the world is all for naught if you're not willing to make yourself receptive, able to receive in like measure. And so often when that's the case, it's more a function of a bad relationship with money more than anything else. And often, and usually, in fact, about 100% of the time, it's unconscious, not conscious. Because most of us, if you ask, hey, you know, are you willing to receive a lot of income for providing great value? They'll say, hey, absolutely, bring it on. And yet, how often do we sabotage this, the process, and you know, not really receive to the degree that we know we really should? Well, the law of left field is sort of a mini law or sub law within the law of receptivity. And the law of left field says that the greatest gifts will come to you at moments and from places you least expect. So the question is, how does that work and why? Well, when living our lives and conducting business according to these principles, all sorts of value showers down upon us from that unnoticed, unseen place. For example, you find a critical lead, you receive a great referral, or you make a crucial last-minute connection that results in a huge sale, a very lucrative sale, a golden opportunity, drops in your lap, or some incalculably valuable thing comes your way. But none of this from the people or places you might have expected or even hoped for. In fact, if you're a baseball fan, you might even say, wow, that one came right out of left field. Well, when living with a giving spirit, focused on creating value for others, great value comes to you suddenly and unexpectedly, and really in amounts far greater than what anyone owes you. But here's the thing, this is key, and this is so vitally important to understand. There's absolutely nothing magical or mystical about this. You can't know exactly where these gifts will come from, only because you can't know exactly where your influence has spread, but spread it has. You've planted so many seeds of goodwill, of great will. So many people know you, like you, trust you, want to see you succeed, want to be a part of your life, that the world has now become what we call a benevolent context for your success. And while you can't necessarily see its operation, there is indeed cause and effect. The cause is giving, the giving of value. The effect is receiving. And that's really what that law within a mini law is all about.
Well, obviously, Bob, you've gained a lot of great insight and apply those same principles in your life throughout your career. What primary factors would you say most contributed to your success?
I think, Warren, that it was the day that I decided I was going to be coachable. I sort of at a certain point had to say, you know what, Berg, you really don't know it all. In fact, you don't know nearly as much as you think you know. And that's when I started to read a lot of books on sales. That's when I started reading a lot of books on personal development. That's when I started listening, seeking out and finding mentors that could lead the way, that could show me the way. And really, that's when it all began to change. I realized that, I didn't need to create a wheel. I wasn't smart enough to create a wheel. But I could tap into that which was already created. And so once I became coachable, I think that's when success began to come my way.
You know, one of the key concepts we talk about on the Obstacle Buster, and really Obstacle Buster for leaders, because we all face different obstacles. How do you overcome obstacles on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, you know, it's a great question. How do you overcome them? You know, I'm not sure you always do overcome them as much as you do what you need to do in spite of them. You know, there's the old saying about, you know, if you try to go through the wall, but then you try to go around the wall. And, you know, I think there's a time and place for everything. Actually, sometimes you just got to keep going until you break through the wall, and other times you got to step back and say, that wall is solid brick. And I'm not going to bust through it, but maybe I can find another way to go around it. And I think it's a combination of strategy. I think it's also a combination of attitude. You know, it's being grateful for what you have and being grateful for the opportunity to increase and have more, and gratitude for being able to work with, you know, and reach out to people and form these relationships that can help you through some of these things. So how do you overcome the obstacles? I don't know exactly. I think there's at certain times you do some things and at other times you do other things. But, you know, the sages said the righteous person falls down 7 times but gets up 8. And, I think you got to be able to know that in the course of success, you're going to get knocked on your rear end. And you simply got to be willing to get up and keep going. You know, a couple of good friends of mine, Richard Fenton and Andrea Waltz, they have a great book out called Go for No. And they actually take the word no and they totally reframe it in our minds. And they say it's not just a matter of, you know, getting past the no's or getting by the, it's embracing the no's. It's understanding that there's got to be a certain amount of no's or failures, if you will, before you're going to succeed. And as long as you understand that, then you look at those no's in a whole different way. Well, we can also look at failures, small failures, big failures in a different way. We can look at these obstacles in a different way. You know, so I think really that's what it is. I don't have one magic bullet, certainly, because I'm continually hit with obstacles. And sometimes I do a good job of going through them or getting around them, and other times I don't. But I think as long as we stay in the game, we've always got that shot to keep advancing.
Very good. Bob, if our listeners wanted to learn more about where to find your books, where would they go?
They can go to my website, which is www.burg, which is spelled B-U-R-G.com. And while they're there, they can download chapters from some of my books, Endless Referrals, The Go-Giver, Go-Givers, Sell More, and the newest book with John David Mann called It's Not About You, which just came out a few weeks ago, which we're excited about. While they're there, they can also, they'll see how they can connect with me on the various social media, and they can subscribe to my blog if they like, which I try to blog about 3 or 4 times a week.
Very good. Well, thank you, Bob, again, for sharing your insight and in reference to the Go-Giver and Go-Giver Sells More. Until next time, this is your host, Warren Wandling. Make it a great day.
To learn more of how to overcome your obstacles and rapidly achieve success, go to awakeningsignificance.com, AwakeningsSignificance.com.